Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, psychic, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio television talk show personality. She brings to the airwaves talented people from around the world who share their insights and experiences with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna.
Hello and welcome. Welcome to an hour of mind power and more. Today we have a topic that I think when any of us hear three letters, IRS, we end up with a few more gray hairs. Why? It's very intimidating to us. This is an environment of taxes, and good Lord, history is replete with the tax situation, isn't it? You can go back to the Middle Ages or even go back further. You can go back to Mesopotamia. That's right. They even had accountants at that time. Why is this such a big deal? Well, it's because it is an agency that many of us do not really have an understanding about. All we know is that in April, we have to take care of taxes. If you're running a business, you've got to do quarterly taxes. And it applies in so many aspects in our life. And sometimes the experience can be one that's not really what you want. You don't sign up for it particularly. Well, my guest today, his name is Ken Jones, has written a book, Saved by the IRS. Now, that to me was quite a surprise because it wasn't a title that I would say many people would want to even put on the front of a book. But Ken Jones has a story to tell. And we are going to be sharing that with you today. Ken, welcome to the show.
Hello.
Now, Ken, you live in Macon, Georgia.
Right.
You have a wonderful family. You've been in business for 34 years plus. And you're a man that has really worked quite hard to achieve what you have achieved. I found it fascinating when in the beginning of your book, you have a page, it's titled Acknowledgements. You say it was your attorney, David Autry, that made this book possible. And I thought, how many people are going to acknowledge an attorney, for heaven's sake? Usually they're vified. I mean, we go, attorneys? You've got to be kidding. Why is it that David wanted you to write this book, and why did he encourage you to do it?
Well, he talked about me. He goes on tours. David Autry goes to CPA conventions all over the United States. He's probably the best trial lawyer against the IRS in the nation. And he talks about this stereo man in Macon, Georgia, that refused to give up. And he talks about that, but see, I couldn't write the book if I hadn't had David to win the case for me, see. In other words, the IRS would have took everything I own illegally.
Well, now, here, I have in front of me a sentence in your book where you are advised that according to a statute number, you owe the IRS $948,164.90.
Cool.
Now, if someone came to me and said I owed that kind of money, I probably would gasp and wonder, am I ready to leave this life? When that happened to you, your response was, where did you get those figures? That was the beginning of the nightmare. Now,
right.
Your title says Saved by the IRS, and we'll get to that. But that was the beginning of your nightmare.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Who was this Mr. Castile? Who was he?
He was with the IRS. I didn't know him personally. What happened is that in October of 86, the store filled up. People dressed real nice, which is very unusual, about 15, 16. So his sheriff walked up to me, and he was I knew personally. So I had tears in his eyes. I said, what's wrong, Curtis? And he stepped back. Mr. Castile walked in with six armed U.S. Marshals in my office.
And armed?
Armed. And he came in and said, you owe it so-and-so. I said, Mr. Castile, where did you get those figures? He said, it does not matter. I said, yeah, it does matter. So I opened up my middle drawer, Donna, desk drawer, and just to give me some time to think, I was so shocked. I didn't know what he was talking about. When I did that, the marshals pulled their pistols on me and pointed them at my head. And I said, whoa, wait a minute. What are y'all doing? And then he said, we need you to be a line of policeman. You're an expert marksman. And, you know, you got a gun, pistol. I said, yeah, that's all true. And he said, well, I said, you worried about me blowing my brains out? He said, no, we're more worried about you blowing our brains out about what we're going to do to you.
What a horrific.
For real, that's exactly what we said. So he said, let's get the bullet. You can have the gun, but let's get the bullet. So I said, it's out there in my Corvette. So I went out at Corvette, and they were hooking it up to take it off. I said, y'all taking my car? He said, yeah, we're going to take everything you own. In fact, we've already got $100,000 out of your bank account. We're going to taking the stores away from you. You got to sell your home. We're taking your cars. We're getting everything you got. I said, wait a minute. I don't understand this. I said, I haven't had no hearing, no court, no notice, no nothing. I don't understand what you people are doing to me for. And he said, well, we can do anything we want to, which is true. They have absolute power.
Now, you're bringing something up, and I know most Americans are very aware of the fact that there are so many issues that are being brought to light. And the IRS, there are so many things going on. I was talking with a CPA recently saying the IRS doesn't even have the staff to take care of what needs to be taken care of. They are severely understaffed. Because they've got billions of pieces of paperwork. They're trying to go electronic. They are doing all kinds of shifting and changing, and they don't have the people to handle it well. And then you have, for all intents and effects, them having the right to just come in and confiscate everything without due process of law. Now, this is something that I don't think, and this includes me, I don't think many people are even cognizant of. You know, we've watched movies about Al Capone and the mafia mm-hmm. and how that's how they often got people and put them in jail was because they were evading taxes. And that has been romanticized quite a bit. But this is a situation that happened to you without any due process of law. And for someone to say to you, we have the power, you can't touch us, the American people today are actually facing this reality. Now, that is really scary. When this happened to you, you decided you had to do something. What was the next patterning that followed?
Well, I stood around for about an hour, and I called my tax attorney because, see, the audit started about a year and a half, 2 years prior to that, and which I knew all about that. I want to make it real clear, Donna. I didn't pay all my taxes. I never denied it. I paid most of my taxes, but not all my taxes. And I have a reason for that. It was not greed. But anyway, I called him out there, and he came out to the store. I said, Jay, can these people come in and take everything I own without it going to court? He said, yeah. I said, they can do that to me? He said, yeah. I said, really? That's just like Gestapo. He said, yes, that's right. And so a very corrupt case. What happened is I asked Mr. Castile, I said, how am I going to get home? He said, we don't care. Mm-hmm. I said, what? I took everything I own, and you don't care how I get home? He said, we don't care how you get home. So I had an old cargo van about 12 years old. I drove home to my home. And but see, my case had so much corruption in it, it made history. And also it stopped the way they do business, IRS, and they got real upset about it. But we'll go ahead and ask you another question. I'm sorry.
Well, that's perfectly all right. What I wanted to ask you, Ken, is here you, everything has been confiscated. You technically have no rights whatsoever. You did owe some taxes. You didn't lie about that. But they were not even, they were sent out. They were the law enforcement arm of the IRS. We want the money. We don't care. Here you are. Okay, so you called your tax attorney. What then was the next step?
Well, the next step was I went home, and my family was there. Of course, my family, my two boys were in the stores now, electronic stores. And I talked to them, and I told them what I didn't do and everything. And they said, my son, 21-year-old son's now like 47. They said, Daddy, only God can help us now. That became a driving force for me to win, because it just broke my heart that I hurt my family, and I didn't mean to hurt my family. And that it really hurt me real bad.
Well, now with this, though, what steps did you take? Because there may be someone that is listening today that has a situation that they're behind in taxes. Many people in the United States today are just hurting terribly. Their businesses have been affected. They don't have the money to pay for a lot of things. Bankruptcy is being declared by many individuals. With this kind of a scenario, what then did you do next? Because you obviously had to take a legal action. Now, there had been a civil audit in 1984 mm-hmm. that was, we're stepping back a few years, that was mm-hmm. brought to your attention. And you have a chapter on jeopardy assessment.
That's
Tell
true.
Us what that is.
Well, most people don't know about it. They've only done it 64 times in the history of the IRS, and I was number 64 at that time. And nobody survived it but two people and me. And what that means, jeopardy assessment, which is showing how stupid the IRS really is and corrupt. Jeopardy assessment means you're going to take your money and your assets out of the country before they get their money. That's what that means. Well, how do you move to electronic stores and a home?
Mm-hmm.
It don't make sense. It was illegal from day one. They finally backed off on it. Meanwhile, I kept my two stores closed for a month. And I was big time all over Middle Georgia, TV, radio, you name it. And a lot of people thought I was in drug business, which I've never been anything illegal, but I'll explain that later with what they did about that. But the big story, I guess you might say, is I went to a federal judge, and the federal judge asked the IRS one question. Well, how is Mr. Jones going to pay his taxes without a business? They didn't have an answer because that was common sense. That's one thing you're going to find, Donna, in this book. The IRS has no common sense whatsoever because they don't have to. Okay? That's the real reason.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, Jeffrey says to me, you're going to try. How would I move two stores and a home out of the country? That's stupid. All you got to do is put liens against them until the bank settled, but they didn't do that. And so, anyway, he reopened the stores. And I said, can I have a little bit of that money back, $100,000 you stole? They said, no, it's gone forever. I said, oh, okay. I mean, so I'd have something to open the store up with, say. And so I opened the store up right at Christmas time. And we were the busiest Christmas we ever had in history because most people hate the IRS.
Well, now with that, when the news of this came out, the local newspapers really got onto it. They were, all the local papers ended up picking it up. You had people, because you were known as a very substantial member of the community, people had known you for years. You were not a crook. You weren't involved in illegal activities. This was not the pattern that you were in. And when this started hitting big time, the people in the community said, we'll support you. We're going to be here for you, which I think is really significant. And I think the mindlessness of the bureaucracy, people are sort of like robots. And when you are aware of that, many times those individuals within the system don't even have, they may want to do something for you, but they maybe can't.
Well, the biggest issue in my case, and anybody out there that's got tax problems, a lot of people do, and they're scared, is they use trickery and deception, like in my case was big time, to get you to put you in jail or charge you a lot of money that you don't owe. And a lot of people don't understand that. See, my book explains the culture of the IRS from day one. And they were completely shocked. I fought them people for 7 years. I would not give up because I was born very poor in Atlanta and with only a high school education. And I wasn't going back to be poor. I was determined whatever it took, I was not going to lose this thing because I knew they were dead wrong. They're just like the Gestapo did the Jews. They didn't kill me. I said this to my son many times, Kenny, which stood right behind me, and another son named Michael. And I told Kenny many times, when I will, if the IRS does not kill me, so help me God. That was my phrase I used to Kenny. And that's what I really felt. I thought they was going to kill me, to be honest with you. They did everything. Wiretapped my home, took everything I owned, didn't give me any money. I opened a store back up without wraps for $1, you know. I had some cash put away, and it's in the book, too. I had 80 grand cash where I withdrew it out of the bank. And the only reason I did that is because the criminal lawyer told me to do it. Well, mm-hmm. I guess that's why they jumped on me. I don't have no idea, but you still can't move two stores in a house.
That's true.
Where it started.
And within 6 weeks, the IRS had collected by force from you and your businesses almost $500,000. And
correct.
When this was done, it was without any proof of what taxes you actually owed. Now, you stated earlier that there were 64 cases like this that had mm-hmm. occurred. You were the last one.
I was the last one at that time, yes.
At that time.
Mm-hmm.
What was it that finally corrected this situation?
Well, they did all this without actually knowing what liability I had. So I had a real hard time. They did everything in the world to destroy me. I mean, everything, including extortion to a real drug dealer, believe it or not. Anyway, right after that happened, they took everything. My wife, 23 years, divorced me, and that drove me crazy. You know, material things is okay. I'm not big about material things, but when you lose people in your life, it really hurts. And that drove me nuts when she divorced me. And on that night, the criminal investigator came by my house, and I was renting because I already sold my big house. I was renting a house. And at 7:30, he said, is your son, Ken, paying you $20 a week for any kind of income? I said, no, of course not. He got mad and walked away. I found out 3 years later, actually went to civil court in 1989, 3 years after all this happened. He said, you said yes, they would have sold your stores. I said, wait a minute, over $20 a week? He said, yeah, that's considered another source of income. They would have sold everything you had. I said, what? He said, that's the way it all. And most people don't know what I know. If you get $20 a week, you got another source, and that way they sell everything you got. It's wrong. The mm-hmm. IRS, you did wrong.
You ended up being sentenced to prison. In fact, quoting from your book, there was a judge, DeRoss Fitzpatrick.
Right.
He was a federal judge. You were his first tax case. There were guidelines that had to be followed in the 80s. And his words to you, and I quote from your book, you've been a model citizen and you've done a lot of good deeds for Middle Georgia. But you, Mr. Jones, are the victim of man's oldest sin, greed. So he was making a personal biased statement. And he said, I sentence you to 3 years under the jurisdiction of the United States Attorney General. Also, you will have 5 years probation and a $25,000 fine, plus payment of all back taxes owed to the government.
Correct.
He hits that little piece of wood on his judge's stand and leaves. Now,
Donna, the fact is, the judge didn't have a clue. You know, I did because the people getting new driving new Cadillacs, enjoying food stamps and free money, and I was working 12 hours a day. My wife was working 12 hours a day, and I said, "This is not right." That's when I started skimming money out of the business in 1980, and because I know it's wrong, but I'm saying that it was not out of greed. Because in 1985, I donated a $65,000 sound system to the Grand Opera House. Here in Macon, it's about 120 years old, something like that, with Mercy University. So if I was a greedy man, why would I give a $65,000 system to a charity to, you know, upgrade a historic building that Bob Hope had done everything? It had Al Jolson on there. I mean, it's a real old building, 1880, something like that. So anyway, if I was a greedy man, why would I do that? Mm-hmm. It's just not true.
Mm-hmm. You talk about the time that you were in prison. While you were there, there were things that you learned. One of the points that you bring out in your book, you say the federal government has a fear of lawsuits against them. They have three big weaknesses, and they are race, religion, and health.
That's true.
And the federal group does not want you to be able to file a lawsuit at any time. And
correct.
You said you were treated as if you had no rights for 4 years prior to what happened in 1986. And what you found, to your amazement, which I don't think is going to come as much of a surprise to most people who are listening to this show today, you found while you were in prison, you have been put in prison, that you had more rights as a person in prison than you did as an upright citizen walking the streets. That is just
correct.
Absolutely, I think most people listening to that would just go, no, it can't be that way.
Well, it absolutely is. They put me in Maxwell Air Force Base, and I only pleaded guilty because my lawyer lied to me, my criminal lawyer, Macon. I didn't mention his name in the book. He said, "Well, Ken, you'll be out in 4 months." I said, "The store can't do without me no 2 or 3 years. It'll go out of business. Nobody's strong enough to run that business." And that was the main theme, was to put me out of business completely, where we make bankruptcy. So bottom line is that that's the reason I pleaded guilty. I wanted to fight it because I knew they did a long thing. In 1984, they started an undercover investigation in 1982. They sent this woman out to our daycare center my wife ran at that time to check, make sure, I don't know why she went there. I mean, it don't make sense. Her babies was, she lived 30 miles south of Macon, so why would she want to go to North Macon, which is about 10, 12 miles from downtown Macon where she worked at, to put her babies in a daycare center? Well, we don't know why, but that's when it first started. And then the next thing I know is that all my rights have been broken in the 4th, 5th, and 6th Amendment. But we didn't know that until we went to court and found out the IRA was doing me. See, the civil people and the criminal people, by law at that time, is supposed to have their own thing. In other words, civil, if they find any fraud, the first 6 months is the law. They drop it, and they give it to the criminal investigator. But what was happening in my case, the criminal investigator was telling the civil auditor what they asked questions to ask so they could put me in jail. And also, another thing that was shocking in the book, I guess you read about my attorney. She called me in 1985 and asked me, "I'm in your attorney's office." I said, "Okay." She asked me all these questions, and I answered all of them honestly. And I called my lawyer back. I said, "Why did I have to talk to this woman?" He said, "What are you talking about?" I said, "Why do I have to talk to this woman, Bonnie Walter?" He said, "You don't have to." I said, "Well, she's at your office." He said, "Well, wait a minute. Oh, I'm in my office. She's in a conference room." I said, "Okay, she misled me then." And that was a big part of the Strickland part case.
Now, David Autry exposed the IRS. You were involved in 1989 in a civil trial.
Yeah.
And he said, your case was the number two case in dollars that did not involve narcotics.
That's true.
And just there was so much information that was brought out and much of the argument by the IRS. Now, your story is just absolutely amazing. Your attorney, David, used to work for the IRS. So he knew the system very, very well. And you say, you have a sentence in your book, which I think is extremely important. The most prized possession is integrity. And this is something that really stood strong in your environment for all of what you went through. Your story is very inspiring, and I think that it's important for us as people to realize that there are things that we need to know, and we need to be able to look at it, not make excuses about it, but be able to look at facts and be with integrity with ourselves. Not blame other people. And that's something, you weren't into the blame game at all. And your business has grown. Your son has supported you. You just had so much that you went through. And by golly, your attorney was very careful what he shared with you, because he didn't want you to get agitated or upset over certain things.
That's true.
But he said you were he was defending you because he wanted to defend your rights as an American citizen.
Correct.
They even went after him.
Well, they went after him, but also they went after my other attorney, Jay Hawkins in Macon. They sent him a circular 230. And what that means, nobody knows what that means. That means you can no longer practice law in a federal court. So if your attorney is doing his job, which he should be, they send that to you that you'll never be able to keep your job in federal court, which is where most of them go to. So they sent that to him. It scared him real bad. And then at the very end, David Altria said, give us Jones on a civil platter, or we're going to audit all 52 attorneys here in Atlanta. And David called the judge that tried me, Judge Gerber in Washington, D.C. There's only three tax judges in the whole United States, by the way. And so I called him, and he told on him. So the man sat in Atlanta, Jerkerson, with the IRS, said, he said, Jerkerson, I am not going back to trial Jones again. It cost us $100,000 for that 1 week in trial at the Richard Russell Federal Building in Atlanta. And I'm not coming back. You better settle this case and destroy. So it put them on the backside. So that's when they started figuring. And then they come up with this thing where I said, well, David, how much money am I going to get back? He said, a substantial sum. I said, what does that mean in dollars and cents? He said, hell, believe it or not. He said, the IRS is telling me now the computer said my case was so complicated they couldn't figure it out. I mean,
amazing.
That's stupid.
Amazing.
It's just another lie. I mean, a pattern of deceit and trickery. I mean, that's forever. That's why people who own businesses need to read my book. And also, I got a good chapter about fair tax system that would stop all this crap and get rid of the IRS.
Well, I'll tell you, I think there are many people listening to this show today that would say, absolutely. And, of course, anybody that's in business, they get a lot of gray hairs very quickly because of the process that you have to go through. And you have to have a CPA. You have to have someone that's going to be able to keep up to date with this stuff, because if you're running a business, how are you going to be able to do that and run your business, too? And tax laws are always changing. Your book, Ken Jones, Saved by the IRS, the website that people can go to find out more about your publication, savedbytheirs.com, there's the first chapter of your book that's right up there on the site that people can read so that they can see. Well, it's just a drop in the bucket as far as what you have here. Ken Jones, I'm so glad I had the opportunity to chat with you. I think that there are moments when we really need to understand that sometimes systems have to change, whatever they may be, and I typically don't get into politics on my show, and I'm not going to do it right at this moment, but I think that there are those points when we have to say it's time to bring things into order. And I'm so glad that you've told your story, because believe me, I've heard some that are just as bad as yours, and it's tragic. But also, too, it's important for people to understand their responsibilities and not run away from them. And that's one of the things I liked about your book. You did not make excuses. You did not whine. You just stated this information and say, these are facts, and people can check them out. Thank you, Ken Jones, for being a guest on my show. Saved by the IRS is his story. Go to the same website for the same title. You'll find out more. You get the first chapter for free. Again, Ken, thank you so much for being my guest. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment.
Amino Muscle Snack Time, the chewable nutrition that feeds your muscles. Amino acids are the building blocks of protein. When you exercise, muscle tissue naturally breaks down. This low-cal, chewable snack helps to reverse that process and won't pack on the pounds. You can chew a few tasty vanilla tablets or any one of their other flavors before or after physical exercise, right before bedtime or first thing in the morning to jumpstart your metabolism into gear for the day. Convenient to carry in a purse, backpack, or briefcase, they are a tasty snack for the person on the go. Firm, fit muscles, trim, healthy body. Sound good to you? Check out Amino Muscle Snack Time Chewable Nutrition by going to Amazon.com or SquatSponge.com. Tone up, trim up, and nourish your body to the fitness level you desire. Amino Muscle Snack Time Nutritional Tablets. Check out the information and order today. Go to Amazon.com or SquatSponge.com. Order now.
Do you have a product or service that you would like people to know about? Internet radio is a powerful medium that can assist you in reaching people who like to shop online and pass by electronic word of mouth information about you, your products, and or services. The Donna Sebo Show reaches around the world, and you can be part of that enterprising network. For more information, contact Vision Broadcasting via Donna at DelphiInternational.com
or call 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Do you have children between the ages of 3 to 10? Do you love children's books and collect them? Then you'll want to know about God's Kiss, the award-winning illustrated children's book that has been enjoyed by families around the world. 15 beautiful illustrations by Pacific Northwest artist Ed Gedrose accompany this lovely story about a little boy named Johnny that will capture your heart and mind in a very special way. Multicultural and non-denominational in content, it will become a family favorite that you and your children will want to read again and again. This book is available by itself through Amazon, or if you contact me, Donna Sebo, directly, you can get a personalized signed copy. There is also a talking book. You can order the talking book CD by contacting me via email, donna@delphiinternational.com, or by calling 253-582-5604. You can also visit my website, delphiinternational.com, to see more details. God's Kiss is a family classic that belongs in everyone's library. Get your copy now.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Welcome back. Telephone lines are open, 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. Donna Sebo here, and all I need from you is your first name or your initial, and then after that, you're welcome to ask me a question about anything that you like after I give you the information I have for you. Tomorrow, we are going to be talking with Larry Edwards. Now, he's located in the Seattle area. This is a true story. It's about his family, and it's Dare I Call It Murder. This is a cold case. If that's something that you're fascinated with, you watch programs about it, well, this is a real, live, cold case that we're going to be talking about. And then Dr. Bernie Siegel, this wonderful man who just is, well, he's dedicated his medical career to letting people know that they can heal themselves, but more importantly, they can have a rich and full life. As a physician, he's just very, very fine. His book, his latest book, is called The Art of healing. And that is what we're going to be discussing on Friday. And we've got more good things to share. So I hope that you will be a part of it and come and join us, because we love to have you at our table. And I wanted to share with you something that a very dear friend sent me. And it was in an email format. And she said, Donna, I want you, and these were the words that she had at the top, I want you to please sit at my table. And I was so pulled in just by the title. And this is what she sent me. She said, there comes a time in your life when you walk away from all the drama and people who create it. You surround yourself with people who make you laugh, forget the bad, and focus on the good. Love the people who treat you right, pray for the ones who don't. Life is too short to be anything but happy. Falling down is a part of life. Getting back up is living. And in that little email message, there was this quote, which I especially liked. Today, may there be peace within. May you trust that you are exactly where you are meant to be. May you not forget the infinite possibilities that are born of faith in yourself and others. May you use the gifts that you have received to pass on the love that's been given to you. May you be content with yourself just the way you are. Let this knowledge settle into your bones and allow your soul the freedom to sing, dance, praise, and love. It is there for each and every one of us. Beautiful, beautiful statement. And at the end of the email, it was, now send this to 8 people or more. And won't you please send it back to me, because I want to be at your table. She made it a table for 8. I want it unlimited. I think it is a wonderful concept to share and to pass along. So I am going to be including that in my next newsletter. And by the way, if you would like to see my newsletter, just go to my website, DelphiInternational.com. And feel free to share it with whomever you want to share it with, because I think that the more we can pass along what we know, the better it is. It is so important for us to encourage, inspire, inform. We need to be aware that we make a difference, and it may be in ways that you would never imagine. Well, here in the Pacific Northwest, and don't forget, you can give me a buzz at 888-627-6008. Here in the Pacific Northwest, in the state of Washington, we are known for our delicious apples. And I mean, they are scrumptious. We are just so fortunate, because on the east side of Washington, there are these awesome orchards. And of course, this is a time of year when everything is coming into fruition, with the apples and many other crops that are, you know, it's just a celebration time here in the Pacific Northwest. And I have neighbors, they have all kinds of apple trees and fruit trees that have just been abundant in their production this year. And when we have a chance, the Sebo family likes to go to Leavenworth, which is a Bavarian type of village. If ever you have a chance to visit here in the Pacific Northwest, I encourage you to go there. It is magical. The vendors, the merchants that are there just are in costume. It's wonderful. And there's music. There's just all kinds of fun things as we come in the fall of year. Of course, Oktoberfest, we're not in the month of October, but Oktoberfest is a big celebration up there. And literally, tens of thousands, millions of people try to make it up there because it is just magical. Well, all of the farms and the different growers there of different food items come out in mass, and it is just amazing. And the apples that you get, because they're fresh off of the tree, they've been ripened on the tree, they're not green, they are ripened. The flavor is spectacular. You know, a lot of times when you go into the store and you buy your fruit, it's been refrigerated for months, and or, depending on the time of the year, it will be coming in from other countries. So they're picked on the green side, and usually they're gassed so that they are preserved, and then they're shipped off. And I'm sure most of you know that. But this is something here in the Pacific Northwest, it's just a joy to be with these different farmers and to see the abundance that their harvest has brought in. And I wanted to share with you a recipe because here in the Seattle area, yes, we're getting our gray skies and fall is coming in with a swoosh of rain, which is typical for us. And I think we're going to have to get our kayaks out pretty soon, but not quite yet. But I've got a recipe for an autumn apple bread that I thought you would really like, and it is so fragrant when you're baking it. It just, I don't know, it makes you feel warm and cozy inside. I don't know how the smell of freshly baked bread affects you. But the mixture of the wonderful fragrances of the apples and cinnamon and the lemon, boy, it cannot be beat. So let me share this recipe with you. You're going to need 1/4 cup of shortening. And it's good if you have a solid shortening. And you can use butter, whatever else you want to use that's a solid shortening. You're going to need 2/3 cup of sugar, 2/3 cup of sugar. And I'd say you could use brown sugar or you could use white sugar, whatever you prefer. You're going to need 2 eggs, and they should be beaten up in a separate bowl. You're going to need 2 cups of sifted white flour, all-purpose flour, and 1 teaspoon each of the following: baking soda, baking powder, salt. Teaspoon each of baking powder, baking soda, and salt. And then you're going to need 2 cups of coarsely grated peeled raw apples, and then 1 tablespoon of grated lemon rind. Now, if you only have dried, that's fine, but if you can use the fresh, oh, it just makes a difference in the flavor because of the oils of the lemon. And then 2/3 cup of chopped walnuts, and I'd say coarsely chopped. Anyway, your shortening and your sugar, you would just want to put that in your mixing bowl and just mix it until it's light and fluffy, and then you add your beaten eggs. Then you sift the next 4 ingredients together. Actually, you could do those in advance if you wanted to. And that is your flour and then your baking powder, baking soda, and your salt. And you add that in alternate motions with your apple, your grated apple, to the egg mixture. And then you stir in your lemon rind and your nuts. You're going to need a greased and floured loaf pan, a 9x5x3. Your oven should be preheated to 350 degrees. You're going to bake the loaf for 50 to 60 minutes. Let it cool thoroughly. It'll make one loaf, but I'll tell you what, your kitchen is going to smell heavenly, and you know what? This is great toasted. Yes. So when it's cool, you slice it up. It's super with a cup of tea, cup of coffee, first thing in the morning. I like to add in sometimes a little bit of wheat bran. But you can use this. If you don't like walnuts, you can use pecans. You can use whatever type of nut you really, really like. This would even be good with macadamia nuts. Mm-hmm. Whatever is your choice. It's a simple recipe, but, oh, it's just great for this time of the year. Actually, it's good for any time of the year. But I wanted to share that with you. This is Donna Siebel. We're going to be taking a break. Phone lines are open. Give me a buzz at 888-627-6008, and I light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. Donna Siebel here. We're going to be right back.
Good health is something all of us want to have. Being aware of what we eat, its nutritional value, and how to balance our physical needs with our busy schedules is always a challenge. Amino Muscle Snack Time goes a long way towards helping us meet this challenge. Amino Muscle Snack Time is a nutritional food product that is portable, tasty, and in chewable tablet form, vanilla and honey flavors, a bonus for maintaining a healthy amino acid balance for healthy muscles. Amino Muscle Snack Time can be used anytime, anywhere, first thing in the morning to kickstart your metabolism. Take 20 minutes before or after a workout to help recover and build muscle. Take mid-morning or mid-afternoon to help curb cravings for unhealthy snacks. Weight loss, appetite control. Only top-of-the-line and no genetically modified ingredients are used, no caffeine added. These chewable tablets can be ordered through Amazon.com or SquatSponge.com. Take charge and jumpstart your food program by adding Amino Muscle Snack Time by visiting Amazon.com or SquatSponge.com for more information. Order now.
Have you ever had a paranormal experience? such as seeing a ghost, having precognitive dreams, out-of-body experiences, or other happenings? If so, Donna would like to hear from you. She's putting together a book of 100 stories from people who would like to tell their story. If you'd like to submit yours, send an email to donna@delphiinternational.com. Again, send your story to donna@delphiinternational.com. Be sure to include your contact information as well. Thank you.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. And telephone number, if you'd like to call in and chat with me, 888-627-6008. First of all, I want to mention to those of you that are listening from Western Washington, I'm doing an appearance at the Emerald Spiral Expo on Saturday, September the 28th. And I hope you and your family or friends would come on out because it is a wonderful event. It only happens twice a year. And I'm going to be there. I'll be in booth number 25, and I'm going to be doing readings. I'll have an abundance of books. I'm going to have some samples of the wonderful product that you hear advertised about by Danny Torres, and it is on your snack time. So all of that is going to be at my booth, and we're going to be sharing that with you. And I'm going to be talking at 2 o'clock at that event, so I'll be speaking on the power of mind, and I welcome you to come along and to join us. So check it out. You can go to my website and find out a little bit of information, but I'll be giving you more on air. It's being held in Kent, Washington, and I'll be sending out an email. We finally got rid of our corruption that had come in. We have had some tremendous storms here, so my system got a little messed up, but we have a wonderful young man, Corey, who manages to fix those things for us. And you will be getting an email from me. If you're on my email list, you'll be getting an email from me as to the location, et cetera. But it's being held at Kent Commons, which is downtown Kent, Washington. The hours are 9 to 5. So we'll be looking forward to having you come out. And there is going to be something very special evolving relative to my children's book, God's Kiss, which you hear a little bit about on the show every day. And we've got a very special happening that is occurring. So that'll be coming up in the in about a week or so. I believe we're going to have it all online for you. I wanted to share with you some information about a guy that maybe many of you have heard about. It's Mike Rowe. And he's a guy that is known for his show Dirty Jobs. He is a spokesperson for some major companies, but he's down to earth, and I think that that is one of the reasons why he is so loved and why his show is so successful, because they really show the reality of what so many people in many different lines of work that most of us have no association with do. Now, his story is quite a good one because he said that he just honestly never in his wildest dreams thought that he was going to end up being a television host of a program like Dirty Jobs. It wasn't that. However, sometimes we have links in our life that affect us so deeply that end up sort of being like the guiding light or a guidepost for us and for actually our future. And in this case, his guiding light, if you will, was his granddad. And he called him Pop. His granddad had only an eighth grade education because he's like so many people of that generation. They had to go to work. My granddad had to go to work when he was in the third grade. People were hungry, and they worked. Didn't make any difference about your age. If you had the capacity of working, that's what you did to help the family survive. Now, Mike said his granddad, who he gave him the nickname of Pop, said he was a master electrician, but he said this is a guy that could do anything. He didn't have to have a blueprint. He could take apart a watch that had been broken and those itsy-bitsy tiny pieces inside of those old watches. He'd put them all back. this guy really, really was a genius when it came to machinery. And I had an aha moment when I was reading this story about Mike Rowe, because that's the way my granddad was. My granddad was a master craftsman. He was absolutely amazing. I didn't inherit any of that, thank you very much. But my brother did, and sadly, he never did have a chance to develop that side of himself. But he said his granddad was such an image for him when he was growing up. And he'd say, okay, come along with me. And by golly, his granddad let him work with him side by side. And he said, "This, it's just amazing how important he was in my life and how much he taught me." And one day when Mike was in his pity pop mode, he said to his granddad, "I can't do anything right." And his granddad said, "Sure you can." He says, "No, granddad, you're able to do all kinds of stuff. I'm not as gifted and talented as you are." And this is what his granddad said to him. He said, "God gave me a toolbox, Mike, and he gave you one too. But he didn't give us the same one. Do you understand?" Let me repeat that. "God gave me a toolbox, Mike. He gave you one too, but he didn't give us the same one." Think about that for a minute. Well, Mike stayed in his pity pot for a while. Now, Mike's mom could see her son's talent. She encouraged him to get involved in music, and he discovered he loved being on stage. Well, he found that he had a natural talent for communication. He would just do all kinds of stuff, and in the early 1990s, he actually landed his first television gig. It was selling stuff on QVC, the home shopping channel. Now, this to me is just wonderful stuff. From there, he got other work on air. He hosted shows for all kinds of stations, and he was asked to do work for the History Channel, PBS, and he said he would freelance. Wherever the jobs took him, that's where he went. And he would do videos of wherever he was, and he'd show his granddad. And he often said, "My granddad just smiled." He said, "I can hardly believe it. I've got a grandson who gets paid to smile and talk. What an amazing world we live in." Well, it was amazing, the various experiences that he had. And he came up with an idea, Mike did, all because of his granddad. He said, "You know, there's a lot of people out there that really work hard and nobody ever recognized them. They're called tradesmen." Tradesmen. And he said, "What brought it home is that he was in a situation where a toilet backed up, the plumbing wasn't working, it needed to be fixed." Now, Mike couldn't do it. That wasn't his skill. But he said, "What if we put a show about men like my granddad? What if we do a show that honors hard work and the people who do it?" Well, by golly, he approached a manager on it, got the go-ahead, started with a dairy farmer who specialized in artificially inseminating cows. They filmed the whole thing. And he said, "I didn't have to be good at it. I was just show and tell." When he told Pop, Pop was in his 90s, but he said, "Mike, you're on to something." And eventually it led to the Discovery Channel's Dirty Jobs. He said, "I had every dirty job you can even think of." He said, "I've been there. I've been involved with it." He said, "I was always a disaster. Terrible when I did it." But he said, "It shined a spotlight on the people I admired the most." His granddad was very proud of what he accomplished, but he did it in his own way. I know we're out of time today, but remember always, you're the master of your fate. You're the captain of your soul. You have your toolbox, too. Don't be afraid to look at the tools you've got, because they're needed. And your toolbox, just like Mike was told, by his granddad is not going to be like someone else's. God bless. Again, remember, the master of your fate, you're the captain of your soul. Won't you join me again tomorrow? I'd be delighted to have you sitting at my audio table. Thank you. God bless. Talk to you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. We're delighted that you were able to join us and invite you to tell your friends and family about the program. Have a wonderful day.